Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Tuesday morning. And because, you know, because we need a little bit of a palate cleanser with all the political drama that's happening and the fact that we are 1 week away now from the election, I did throw out the question this morning asking what are the most famous movie lines in history. You can send them in via app chat. You can send them in using an open line voicemail if you want to record yourself impersonating the line from the movie. We can play that on the air. As long as it's one that we can play on the air. You can also comment on our Facebook page, where we have it posted up there too. And I'm getting a bunch on app chat that I'll get to in just a moment. But before we get back into that discussion, and by the way, that came up because on America in the Morning, they said, "I'll be back" is the most famous movie line of all time. And that might be because Arnold has said it in so many movies. My favorite is in Last Action Hero, which was a very meta movie before meta was a thing. Not Meta, the company that owns Facebook. Meta, like, you know, something that breaks the third wall. And that movie was very, very funny to me when I was a kid. And I love the fact that it was, you know, a wink and a nod to people that were fans of the movie and of the genre of movies. And there's a part where Arnold Schwarzenegger, who plays both himself and the fictional character Jack Slater in the movie, as Jack Slater says to the kid, "I'll be back." And he said, you know, "Bet you didn't know I was going to say that," or something like that. He goes, "Yeah, you always say that. You say that in every movie." And then later on in the movie, he goes, "Rubber baby buggy bumpers. Ha, you didn't know I was going to say that, did you?" And that's another line that my brother and I will quote quite often. Anyway, but before we get back into that discussion, on a more serious note, there's some more information that has come about regarding what happened in Plymouth on Friday, where a man shot another man in the face after a road rage incident. And I generally don't like to read articles on the air. I'll read, like, you know, bits and pieces and paraphrase them, but I want to make sure that I give you this information the way that it was reported by David R. Smith and Jessica Trufant in the Patriot Ledger. So a Plymouth man is being held without bail on murder and other charges after a shooting that killed a man Friday night. Police said David Jerome, 23, was driving his Toyota RAV4 with his 18-month-old son in a car seat shortly before 6 p.m. on October 25th when he got into the accident with Brent Berkeley, 41, who was driving his Jeep. Berkeley, who was shot several times, died. Jerome was arraigned in Plymouth District Court Monday. He is charged with one count each of murder, discharging a firearm within 500 feet of a building, reckless endangerment of a child, improper storage of a firearm, negligent operation of a motor vehicle, improper storage of ammunition, and possession of a large capacity feeding device. So it says prosecution lays out the argument for no bail for Jerome. Witnesses reported seeing Jerome at a brewery in downtown Plymouth with his one-year-old son, where he had a beer and bought two more to go, Assistant District Attorney Jeremy Kruzman said. Jerome was then seen driving the wrong way down a one-way road in downtown Plymouth, which resulted in him getting in a verbal altercation with a man driving a truck. Witnesses reported hearing Jerome say he would put the man, quote, in a body bag, Cushman said. Guzman said Jerome had a loaded gun on him and admitted to then taking a second gun out of a safe in his vehicle after the first altercation. Jerome was then texting and driving when he allegedly rear-ended Berkeley in a town-owned parking lot on Middle Street, Guzman said. He also said witnesses reported seeing Berkeley get out of his car to confront Jerome, who remained in his car. Berkeley then punched Jerome in the face before Jerome fired several shots through his open car window, shooting Berkeley in the chest and abdomen. So, you know, the reports he was shot in the face were apparently incorrect. Witnesses said Jerome then got out of his car, approached Berkeley, who was on the ground, and shot him several times while saying something along the lines of, "Don't move." Witnesses said Jerome then said something like, "Don't give up," to Berkeley before starting to perform CPR. Police were on scene moments later and Jerome was taken into custody. Berkeley was taken to Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital in Plymouth, where he was pronounced dead from his wounds less than an hour later. "No matter how you look at it, this is a case of overkill," Guzman said. The defense has asked for a $100,000 bail, suggesting self-defense. Defense attorney Jack Atwood said Jerome has no criminal record and lives with his girlfriend and their child. He suggested this could be a case of self-defense, arguing that Berkeley had 4 bullet holes in his hand and therefore could have been reaching for the gun. Atwood said Jerome was cooperative in his interview with police. So I know that there were some questions still about, you know, how this happened. And that there were people who felt that this could have been that Jerome felt like his life was in danger. And that's why he utilized his gun and why he utilized deadly force. But if they can prove in court that, you know, the witness reports are true, that doesn't look good for David Jerome, because you got into a argument with another driver, a driver of a truck, because you were going the wrong way down a one-way road. So you got into an argument with the driver of the truck, and then that led you to take a gun out of a safe that you had in your car, in addition to another gun that you already had on you. And now you're just driving around with your 18-month-old son in the back. And what, that gun in your lap? On the seat next to you? It sounds like you were looking for somebody to set you off. That's how it's going to play to a jury. If those are the facts. That whatever trouble you got, you invited yourself into. So if he got into an altercation with Berkeley after a fender bender in the parking lot, and Berkeley punched him in the face through the driver's side window, is it possible that Berkeley saw the gun and punched him in the face in an act of self-defense to make sure he didn't draw the weapon on him? What you have here is you have a very unhinged person. And by the way, I caught some flack for my reporting on this because I mentioned that Berkeley has had on his Facebook page many posts about guns, posing with guns, videos of him shooting guns. And I got beat up a little bit on social media for pointing that out, that I was trying to make some sort of anti-gun statement. First of all, I'm a gun owner. I possess a license to carry. Secondly, that is not any kind of statement about guns at all. That's just a fact. And I wasn't the only person that reported that. But when I saw that page, I said, there's a lot of posts about guns. That's pertinent to the story. But apparently other people who are extremely pro-gun felt that that was me making some kind of a statement. In no way did I ever blame the guy. And, you know, in my capacity as the person writing the news story, there's no opinion in that story at all. And as a person now on the radio giving you opinions, I am not saying at all that this is if he didn't have those guns, this never would have happened. This sounds to me like the kind of person that if he had a tire iron in his car, he was going to use that to take somebody out. The weapon here isn't the problem. The problem is the person who possessed the weapon. And it didn't matter whether he used, you know, the gun that appeared in the photos with him or if he used a pistol or whatever. The problem here is that you had somebody who was clearly looking for trouble. You don't tell somebody when you're driving the wrong way down a one-way road, you don't tell somebody that you're going to put them in a body bag if that turns out to be true. So this there's a lot of things that will have to be proven in court one way or the other. But I would say on the surface, it doesn't look good for Jerome. Because there were numerous points in which he chose to escalate the situation. And I think a big part of it will be the fact that he got out of the car after he'd already shot Berkeley and then shot him again. Do I think that he's sorry? Yeah, I don't think he wanted him to die. I think in a moment of rage, he lost it. It sounds like it was like a blackout rage, and that when he came out of that blackout, he realized the gravity of the situation and didn't want him to die. That's why he tried to perform CPR. That's why there's a photo of him in the Patriot Ledger where he looks like he's crying, or at least, you know, emotionally moved by what had happened. And I think that's genuine. I think it seems like he's sorry for what he did, but he still did it. And there needs to be a punishment for that. Of course, if he's found guilty when it goes to court. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But I think, yeah, that's a case that is going to get a lot of attention. Already now, the fundraiser for Berkeley's family has raised a lot of money. In fact, I'm going to give you the latest update. As of right now, it has raised... Why can't I see the total here? $121,029. So the original goal was $100,000. Then they upped it to $150,000. Now they've raised it to $200,000. I don't think they realize that they don't need to keep raising the goal. You can leave it at what it was and people can still donate. But still, $121,000 raised for this family already, and that's just the GoFundMe. There are still restaurants that are all organizing special days. Yesterday, there was a pizza shop that was doing it. The Speedwell is still planning their event on Friday, although they're kind of scaling that back a little bit now and saying people should donate to the GoFundMe, I think because they're concerned that they're going to be overwhelmed with people on Friday. So there's a lot of folks coming out for this just senseless tragedy. 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I know you were talking about Halloween this morning, and I was going to call, but then the news hour got close. I figured I'd wait till now. You know, I'm much older than you are, so I don't know already at your age. I don't think probably you already remember or even get to see that. But, you know, when I was a kid in New Bedford, probably till I was about 17, because then that's when that all stopped. And it did stop because most of the avenue in New Bedford, probably from Cogsall Street all the way to Brooklawn Park, the avenue was loaded with little mom and pop shops, you know, clothing, women's clothing stores, shoe stores. I mean, you name it. It was really just like downtown. It really was quite something. So what they would do every year for Halloween is each store would contribute I can't remember if they would contribute money to the city, because it was put on by the small, somewhat like a small business association organization in the city. And I don't know if that was run by, you know, City Hall or if it was separate. But anyway, long story short, they would gather the money, contributions from the businesses, or each store would buy like their own candy. And at night, it was usually Halloween night. Instead of going, the kids going door to door, there would be a Halloween parade all along the avenue from Cogsall Street to Brooklawn Park. And it was huge. You know, the kids would walk along the street, and then the store owners or the small business association, they would have people, like, you know, in front of each store, and they'd be throwing candy into the street, and, you know, kids would be, you know, picking up the candy, or they would go store to store to get candy. But, I mean, it was really fabulous. It was something that stayed with me. I never forgot that growing up as a kid. And like I said, I only remember it probably till I was 16 or 17, because I remember after my parents that more or less one or two last years that they did that, let me go along with my friends, because prior to that, you know, I couldn't go. It would usually start like around 8 o'clock. 8:30.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of people like Mary and a couple of other, you know, older people that call in to your program in the morning. I'm sure they remember that. And it's really too bad. I know they've just recently tried last year and this year doing that. I think in the South End, like some area there.
Well, yeah, that's been ongoing now for a long time, the South End one.
Yeah, but it's really too bad, you know, that something like that. And I mean, the way I see it on the avenue, I know that couldn't happen now because, you know, with a lot of stores being empty, and it is what it is. But it was really something.
I can't believe it started that late, because nowadays, you know, trick-or-treating is over by 8 o'clock.
Yeah, no. Well, because you got to remember, you know, it was different times. You know, we're looking back. It was in the 60s, you know, and it was like, you know, in the 60s, probably till maybe the late 60s. Is when it ended. So it was, you know, a different era, you know, different lifestyle. I'm not saying there weren't problems, but yeah, it was just really a good time. I mean, that's something that kids look forward to, even teenagers look forward to on Halloween. So by the time you got, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, kids didn't go trick or treating, but by the time we got done, talk about bringing home candy. Yeah, it was something.
Well, and it makes sense too, because, you know, it's hard to trick or treat in those neighborhoods because a lot of those buildings are, you know, multiple apartment buildings. So that means kids would have to like trudge up to the third floor stairs, you know, to go knock on somebody's door. So it would make sense to do it, you know, on the avenue instead of doing it that way.
You know, I did, you know, when my son was little, you know, we used to have to do that. You know, when he was born, because there was no more parade on the avenue. There were no parades, no nothing available. So, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was tough to have to go to every house, you know, first floor, second floor, third floor, point. Yeah. So anyway, I just figured I'd share that story with you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. I've got to take a break here, but we'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back in. We're going to go back to your phone calls, your movie quotes, and your thoughts on that Plymouth case. DSY says, on top of it all, a baby in the car. Right. And as our friend Anthony over at Southern Mass Alerts, I always say Southeastern, but Southern Mass Alerts, at @Metro_notify on Twitter. You're not even supposed to be in possession of alcohol when you have your weapon on you. That is true. He was apparently drinking while armed. So we can talk more about that and a bunch of other things as well. But right now, Phil Devitt is waiting to give you an update on all the top stories of the day.
Election Day, now 1 week away. Millions have already voted. Eyes on the next storm brewing in the Caribbean. And a Daily Show extension for Jon Stewart.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
It's now 1 week to Election Day, with Kamala Harris and Donald Trump giving their closing arguments. Former President Trump spoke to a group of faith leaders as he campaigned in the battleground state of Georgia on Monday.
We were a really, people would say, a Christian and really religious, even other faiths country. And that seems to be heading in the wrong direction.
Trump went on to say the nation needs religion because it's like the glue that holds it together. Vice President Harris was in Michigan, making three stops in that battleground state. Both vice presidential nominees J.D. Vance and Tim Walz were in Wisconsin. Early voting is taking place across many states with heavy turnout in many places. So far, some 42 million people across the country have already cast their ballots. Officials have reported record-breaking early voting turnout in several swing states, including Georgia and North Carolina. Actor Jay Johnston is being sentenced to 1 year in prison related to the January 6th Capitol riot. Lisa Taylor with more.
He pleaded guilty to interfering with law enforcement during civil disorder in July. On the day of the riot, Johnston used a stolen police riot shield to form a wall and a tunnel against police officers and was part of pinning an officer against a doorframe. Johnston is known for his roles in Bob's Burgers and Arrested Development. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Forecasters are tracking what could become the next tropical depression or storm. Brian Shook reports.
The National Hurricane Center in Miami says the system could develop from a broad area of low pressure that's likely to form over the Caribbean in a few days. It's being given a 40% chance of developing late this week or this weekend. While the system poses no threat to the continental U.S. within the next week, forecasters say interests in the Caribbean Sea should monitor its progress. I'm Brian Shook.
Iran says it will use all the tools at its disposal to respond to Israeli attacks on military targets in the country over the weekend. Israel carried out airstrikes on a number of missile factories and other sites in Iran, retaliation for an October 1st missile attack on the Jewish state, itself retaliation for Israeli assassinations in Tehran and Beirut. An Iranian foreign ministry spokesman said there would be a response. Subway is being accused of grossly misleading customers over the amount of meat that's in their sandwiches. A proposed class action lawsuit says advertisements for the fast food chain shows steak and cheese sandwiches containing 200% more meat than what customers actually receive. The lawsuit was filed Monday in Brooklyn federal court. And Jon Stewart will stay behind the Daily Show desk through next year. He's agreed to extend his current deal until December of 2025. Stewart returned to the Daily Show earlier this year to host shows on Mondays leading up to November's election. He left the show in 2015 after hosting since 1999. The Daily Show has been without a permanent host since Trevor Noah departed in 2022.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins back at TD Garden tonight to welcome the Philadelphia Flyers to Boston. Celtics heading to Indiana to play the Pacers on Wednesday. Patriots heading to Tennessee to play the Titans on Sunday. And tonight, Game 4 of the MLB World Series, Dodgers and Yankees at 8 o'clock.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
It's going to be a cloudy day here on the South Coast, but warmer only slightly, with a chance of showers overnight. Wednesday clearing to some sunshine and warmer, reaching the 70s in some places. Halloween looks to be the winner of the week with highs near 80, but we're looking for a cold front to bring showers and cooler temperatures back to the South Coast in time for the weekend. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. And we were asking, you know, what is the most famous movie quote of all time? What is the most iconic movie line? Because this morning, America in the Morning said it was, "I'll be back," which Arnold has said in many, many movies. But I've been asking throughout the morning and getting a lot of responses on app chat, on phone calls, on Facebook. In fact, we've got some more here that came in on Facebook. Shelley says, "Houston, we have a problem." James says, "Go ahead, make my day." Leslie, "Here's Johnny," which I'm sure a lot of people will be watching The Shining for Halloween. Mary says, "I'll be your Huckleberry." Elizabeth, "Are you talking to me?" Mark, "We're going to need a bigger boat." I'm not surprised there, Mark. We know Jaws is your favorite movie. Pamela says, "Juicy fruit," which is a kind of an obscure line, I think, from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, but still there. "Could be worse. Could be raining," from Young Frankenstein. Frederick, "A man after my own heart." "This is the West, sir. When the legend becomes fact, print the legend." Frederick also says, "What we have here is failure to communicate," from one of the best movies of all time, Cool Hand Luke. I cannot do a Strother Martin impression, but that's as close as we'll get. Mary also says, "Santa, I know him," from Elf. On app chat, we have El Jefe saying, "If he dies, he dies," which is Drago's line from Rocky IV. We have Steve B. in Fairhaven, who mentioned this line, which I think it'll be better if I play it rather than try to imitate it.
I don't believe it.
"That is why you fail."
I really can't do a Yoda impression, but I definitely can't do serious Yoda. Like when he stops being goofy and turns serious, I definitely can't do that. And Mr. M in New Bedford says, "Mel Brooks movies have the best lines." And there are so many Mel Brooks movies, Mel Brooks lines that I just will pop out of my mouth at any given moment, sometimes inappropriately. Like, The other day, we were in a meeting, and somebody said something about whipping something out, and I just said, excuse me while I whip this out, and then nobody knew what I was talking about. But one of my favorite, well, a couple of my favorite Mel Brooks lines are from Young Frankenstein, where he pulls up in the train, and he says, pardon me, boy, is this the Transylvania Station? And the boy says, yeah, yeah, track 29. Would you like a shine? And he looks at him and says, no thanks. Rather than keep the, you know, the chant, what's it, chant? Chattanooga Choo Choo. Rather than keep that whole bit going, he's just like, no thanks. And then another one of my favorite lines is when he says, the women are getting off the train. He goes, well, his wife is getting off the train, and Inga's also there, and he goes, Igor, help me with the bags. And he grabs her. He goes, you take the blonde. I'll take the one in the turban, in a Groucho voice. It cracks me up every time. And then later on in life, when I learned that Blücher is German for glue, and that's why the horse is whinny every time. Like, just such a dumb joke, but who would get it? Great, great stuff. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
You have me cracking up.
It's not that me. I'm not the one that wrote the lines.
No, but I love it. I love that you have all this in your brain. And I love all the app chatters and callers. Like, this is great. People really remember a lot of things that I would have forgot about. I just love it. Wow, what a fun way.
I just got another one from Gilly. The scene in Crocodile Dundee where the guy pulls a knife on him and he says, that's not a knife, that's a knife. And he pulls out his big knife from his belt.
His big knife. Now, see, I would have totally forgot about that if Gilly had... So many people. Oh, my... I'm so, like, impressed. I'm so impressed with the audience. I really am. And me, I don't know if anybody will remember this, and I'm not even sure if I got the right movie, but Samuel L. Jackson, I think it was Pulp Fiction.
Whoa, hold on. I don't know that you can say any of his lines on the radio.
Oh, no, it's not bad. But he says, and his hand will come and strike you down.
No, I can give it to you. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Oh, good for you.
Ezekiel 25:17.
Yes, and then he said that. Yes. So,
I don't know the Bible to say. I don't know anything from the Bible, but I know that line from Pulp Fiction.
I love that. And I mean, God, it was so good. And yo, Adrian, I don't think that was like a famous thing, but Rocky.
That was pretty famous. Yeah. The best line in any Rocky movie, though, is when he says, I don't know, I kind of like the zoo. When he asks her on a date to go to the zoo. I love that line.
I don't even remember that line.
Rocky 2, I think.
Oh, my God.
Might be the first one. I forget.
I know when he was like finished winning that really drag out fight. Adrian, you know, like that.
Yep. And then yo, Adrian, I did it.
Yeah, and yo, Adrian, yeah. So those are my two that I can think of a lot, but I'm not going to go there.
Do you remember Mr. T's famous line in Rocky 3 when they ask him for a prediction of what's going to happen in the fight?
No.
They say, Clubber, what do you think is going to happen in the fight? What's your prediction for the fight? He says, pain.
Oh, I don't remember that either. See, this is what I'm saying. You're just like everybody out there in you are just got it together.
I don't remember anything important. I don't remember like things that I need to know. I remember things I don't need to know.
The one I really remember from being younger into an adult was E.T. Home. And him pointing his little one finger up to the sky. Oh, my God. That gets me every time.
And you know,
don't remember.
No, I remember that. I saw that movie in the theater. I remember seeing that.
And then they tried to turn it around and make a commercial. E.T. phone home. But I think he said E.T. home, right?
No, he says phone home in the movie.
So okay, so he does. I thought that was just the commercial afterwards. But that always made me sad. His little voice. So, okay, so on another note, just real quick. Well, first of all, it was really great seeing you. I loved it. I had so much fun there. And Michelle, she gave us a lot of, she gave me a lot of laughs. I never said goodbye properly. So, Michelle, it was nice meeting you. And I wanted to say, I did buy a bottle of that rye whiskey. I forgot that I had bought a bottle for another friend. So I got to try it. It's really good.
That was very good stuff, yes.
Yeah. And so now I'm just going to go to politics real quick because I know we want to keep it fun today. But, okay, so you know I registered to vote and everything. So I got in the mail yesterday. I opened it, and it was late in the day, so there was nobody to call in and ask. So now they mailed me a vote-by-mail application when I already voted in person the same day I registered.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that, it says this letter saying that I am now registered. I am an independent, so it says you are now registered as unenrolled, no party. And then down below, it's telling me where to go vote. So I'm confused. Did they not get my vote the same day I registered? Or is this, because why am I getting to vote twice?
You're not like, getting to vote twice. So if you filled that out and sent that in, they wouldn't count it because you've already voted.
Okay.
So you can just take that one and tear it up.
Right. I'll put it in my shredder. Yeah, I was confused about that yesterday. I was like, what the heck? So out of curiosity, though, I will go to the voting area near me just to see how my name is and how make sure everything's legit that I got through. But I think that's about it. Oh, and I'll be making my trick-or-treat bags today.
You get a lot of trick-or-treaters?
No, none. But I'll be making them. For you guys, remember I told you that I'm going to make little...
Well, but you don't get any at your door either, though? That's kind of sad.
No, because you know why? You need a key to get in.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't. I wish I did.
You know what I'm going to do one of these years? I'm going to reverse trick-or-treat. I'm just going to go knock on people's doors and give them candy.
Hey, that's really funny. Wouldn't that be something?
We'll film their reaction of it too. We'll see what they think.
Tim, that's a great idea.
But I won't do it on Halloween because, you know, I don't want to get in the way of the kids that are actually out there getting candy. We'll do it on like just some random day. Just some random day. We'll pick a random day in the middle of the year.
Yeah. Oh no, I would do it like 2 days after. I think that's a great idea, honestly, because I think people would be really happy to receive something.
I think people would throw the candy away and assume I was poisoning them.
Well, listen, I think at this day and age, like it's scary for kids. The trunk or treating, I think, is the best thing, the way for children to go nowadays, and maybe even adults. I don't know. I'm just saying. I might be all disguised and be trunk or treating this year. No, I would never do that.
I'm actually going to be there. I'm going to be disguised as a car trunk. Nobody will know it's me.
Yeah, right. But everybody will now know. Oh, that's funny.
You won't be able to figure out which one is me.
So that was interesting. The other caller that called in, and she was talking about how the stores would just, you know, everybody would just throw, you know, the kid be a parade, and not throw candy at the kids. But,
when I was a kid and I lived in Sandwich, a couple of times we went trick-or-treating at the mall, at the Cape Cod Mall, and you would just walk through the mall and all the stores would have candy or something. They, you know, some of them gave away more than candy. Some of them gave away like little gift certificates or little prizes, and then the McDonald's would give away an ice cream cone. Like it was pretty fun.
Great idea. I'm gonna go to the mall and see if they're gonna hand out gift certificates to go into the store and shop.
I don't think they do it anymore. But you can ask the mall; they might.
Yeah, well, it might be worth
they'll at least have candy for you. So.
Yeah, and I just want to say real quick about that Plymouth story. That is tragic, but you said everything so fast, Tim, that I'm like totally confused now. So. You said he was texting and driving, but then you said he was driving down a one-way street.
First he was driving the wrong way down the one-way street, and he got into a verbal altercation with a guy that was driving a truck. So the guy said something to him. This is what witnesses were saying. They said, you know, the guy probably said, "Hey, go the wrong way," and he told the guy he would put him in a body bag. And then he pulled into the parking lot on Middle Street, and when he pulled into the parking lot, he got into an altercation with the victim, the person that he shot.
So it was in the parking lot where this took. And you said something about wounds. His hand had. Did you say bullet holes?
The defense attorney said that the victim had bullet holes in his hand. So
wow. So how many rounds did this guy fire?
Well, apparently he fired a few while he was sitting in the car, and then got out of the car and fired a few more after that. So.
Jeez Louise. Wow. What was he on? And he's only 22, you say?
23. And his 18-month-old son was in the car the whole time.
In the car the whole time. Like, what? Oh, my stars. What was he doing out? I don't know.
Apparently drinking. So he added one beer and took two to go. Exactly. So.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is tragic in so many ways. Just so tragic. Yeah.
Well, I got to hold you there because I'm up against a break here. But you
definitely.
You have a great day.
Yeah. Okay. You too.
All right. We got to take this break. I'll be back in just a few moments. You know, I'm running around all over the place this week. It is Halloween week, so I'm super busy. And by the way, tonight I'll be in Belchertown at the Clatt Memorial Library. I know it's kind of far, but if you're from that area and listening to us on the WBSM app, I'll be at the Clatt Memorial Library talking about Ghosts of the Bridgewater Triangle at 7 p.m. And if you're a little bit more local, tomorrow night I will be at the Pembroke Public Library talking about Ghosts of the Bridgewater Triangle at 6 p.m. So same lecture, two different places. Belchertown tonight at 7 and Pembroke tomorrow night at 6. And I'll get it all right in my head. But you can see how busy I am and how crazy it gets, right? So I don't have time to do things like my laundry. First of all, not only because I just don't have the time, but also I need my clothes ready to take out and put right on. I don't have time for, you know, ironing and all that kind of stuff. That's why I love getting my laundry done from Dash Laundromat, because they will wash, dry, and fold it, and it's ready to just take right out of the bag, put away in the drawer, and then take right out and wear. They have it ready to go for you. What they do at Dash is they simplify laundry for you because you don't like doing it, but they love doing it. You can drop off your laundry, head out and conquer your day, and then when you're ready, you can go back and get it. How do you do that? They have their brand new lockers outside. Secure, convenient, and ready to revolutionize your laundry routine. You just drop off your laundry in the locker whenever it works for you using the Dash Laundromat app. It allows you to open up the locker, put your laundry in, and schedule them to wash, dry it, fold it, and then they'll put it back in the locker. So then you come back later on and pick it up when it works for you. And if that doesn't work, they'll even come to your home or your work and they'll pick up your laundry and drop it off to you again. Whatever you need, Dash will do it. Find out all about their great services by downloading the Dash Laundromat app today from your app store. And also make sure you follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, or just stop by the store. Stop by the Dash Laundromat location, 1 State Road in Dartmouth, and they will talk to you all about the great services they offer. All right, I've got to take my final break. We'll be back in just a few moments. I've got to dash into this commercial. And we are going to be going into the news. When we come back on the other side, we can talk about some more of your...
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.